I want to share with you this morning something that's spoken powerfully to my heart and came with fresh light and revelation to me that I want to be gripped with the truth of what is written here. And what is written in these verses and what is there in Scripture, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is so different from the spirit of the world. The world, they want to be strong and be powerful. But the life that Jesus has called us to live is a life where we go down. The very opposite. The life where we become weak so that God's power can be manifested in us and through us. And that's what God has done through the century. Don't look around at the Christianity that you see today, but look at the Christianity that we see in the Bible. The life that God has called us to live on this earth. That's where we should always be looking. It will never disturb us how it goes on in the Christian world. It's getting worse and worse. It doesn't disturb us. We are concerned when we see false prophets arise. But if we have our eyes fixed on Jesus, if we have our eyes fixed on those who are examples in our midst, and God has given us good examples, true servants of God, then I believe we'll be challenged and encouraged to live the life that God has called us to live. And that's spoken very powerfully to me, and I want to share this with you. And I pray that God will open our eyes this morning. I pray that God will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the true knowledge of Him. I want to come to this life. A.B. Simpson calls it, you know, the finding more and more in life and reality, the divine all-sufficiency, or to put it more plainly, the all-sufficiency of the true grace of God, which eventually, listen to this, leads us to come to an end of everything in ourselves and in our circumstances. If we see this and be gripped with it, we can experience. And I'm referring to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul was gripped with this life. He lived this life. God had laid hold of him, and Paul had laid hold of eternal life, and he called young Timothy to lay hold of eternal life that he was called to. And Paul says then, verse 7, he spoke of the surpassing greatness of the revelations that he had received from God. And for this reason, to keep him from exalting himself, he says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters, that everything that God allows in your life and mine, if we are really gripped with this life and we want to love God with all of our heart, we want to live for Him, glorify Him, we're not seeking anything of our own, God is so interested in us that He will do everything to keep us from exalting ourselves. And He says, concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weaknesses. Today, people boast about their strengths and their achievements, but Paul says, most gladly, I will boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses. A.B. Simpson, writing about this, and I'm so blessed, he says here, the literal translation of this verse, 2 Corinthians 12, and what we just read there, 9 and 10, the literal translation, it says, gives us a startling emphasis to it, makes it speak for itself with a force that we have never realized. I hope you will see something of that this morning. This is a literal translation of 2 Corinthians 12:10. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in being without strength, in insults, in being pinched, in being chased about, in being cooped up in a corner for Christ's sake. For when I am without strength, then am I dynamite. That's the word. Dunamis. I don't know Greek. I'm not a Greek scholar. But I understand. Wherever we read about the power of God, it's dunamis. Dynamite. You know what dynamite does? It can blast everything that comes in the way of us following Christ. And the only way that I can experience that is when I'm without strength. That's spoken powerfully to my heart. And God will do everything to bring me to that place where I am without strength. Then am I dynamite. That's God's way. The way of the world is different. The way of the world is that you become strong and then you get power. The life that God calls you and us to live on this earth is that we become weak and experience not just power, but dynamite. And that we can fulfill God's purpose for our lives on this earth. And he says, listen to this. A.B. Simpson says, here is the secret of divine all-sufficiency. To come to the end of everything in ourselves and in our circumstances. And when we reach this place, we'll stop looking for sympathy. We'll stop looking for people to feel sorry for us because of our hard situation, because of the treatment we are getting. We'll never look for it. We'll stop pitying ourselves when we come into this life. When we see the secret of this life, Paul found and lived the secret of an all-sufficient, all-powerful grace of God. That's what Jesus said to him. He said, no, I'm not going to remove it. He prayed three times, like Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, let this cup pass from me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. And Paul prayed three times, Lord, take away. It troubled him. It was a messenger of Satan, the Holy Spirit says. We don't know what it is. Probably it was something physical. We have heard probably it had something to do with his eyes. And because he says to the Galatian church, he says, you would have gladly plucked out your eyes and given it to me. He must have had some ailment in the eyes that even looking at him will make you feel awkward and embarrassed. And Paul asks God, take it away. And the Lord says, no, I'm with you. That's all you need. My power shows up best in weak people. We have heard this in this church through the years. How much have we been gripped, my brothers and sisters? My power shows up best in weak people. That's a Living Bible translation of that verse. So I'm glad to boast about how weak I am. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power. I'm reading from the Living Bible. Instead of showing off my own power and abilities, since I know it is all for Christ's good, I'm quite happy about the thorn and about insults and hardships, persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong, dynamite. May God open our eyes to see that, my brothers and sisters. Our whole attitude will change to trials and difficulties and temptations and whatever else we may face in this life. Our whole attitude will change. It's begun to change my attitude. And I thank God for gripping me with this. To be well content to be weak and not try to be strong and not want to be strong so that I can experience power, dynamite. George Matheson, the well-known Scottish blind preacher, in his day once said, listen to this, it spoke to my heart. He said, "My God, I never thanked thee for my thorn. I have thanked thee 1,000 times for my roses, but not once for my thorn. I've been looking forward to a world where I shall get compensation for my cross, but I have never thought of the cross itself as a present glory. Teach me the glory of my cross. Teach me the value of my thorn. Show me that I have climbed to thee by the path of pain. Show me that my tears have made my rainbows." He was a blind preacher, George Madison. His motto is life. He lived in the 1800s and died in 1906. When he was 20, when he was engaged to be married, he was going blind. He was born with an ailment and he had to wear thick glasses. By the time he was 15, his sight was failing. And when he was 20, he went blind. And he was engaged to a girl. And when he broke the news to his fiancée, she decided she could not go through life with a blind husband. She left him. And then his sister offered to take care of him, and for many years she did that. And meanwhile he gave himself to preaching God's word, to shepherding God's flock. He used to speak to 1,500 people a week, and he was popularly known as the blind preacher. Some years passed and his sister fell in love, and she wanted to get married, so he let her go. And he was left alone. And when the parents and the whole family went the previous day to make arrangements for the wedding, he was left alone. And he was so lonely. But he cast himself upon the one who loved him and who said to him, "I will never, never leave you nor forsake you." And that was his comfort. And in those moments, in 5 minutes, he wrote a song, a lovely song, which I have sung to myself many times through the years. And it brings tears to my eyes each time I've sung it. It's my favorite song. I've sung it to myself, like I said, sometimes while driving, sometimes at home. You know that song. I'm afraid people who like fast music don't like it, because it has a slow tune, but I don't worry about the tune. "O love that will not let me go." He wrote that song. The words go, "O love that will not let me go. I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be." And the second verse goes, "O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray." You know, the light that he had got in his heart, even though he was blind, it was borrowed. That's what he recognized. "That in thine sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, fairer be." That's the author of that song, George Madison, who was blind, and he died blind. And he found comfort in that. Like I said, he realized that not one day did he thank God for his thorn. He thanked God for the roses. And that's how it is. We thank God for the roses, but we never thank God for the thorn. It can be different for many of us. God allows the thorn sometimes to keep us humble. I know he's done that for me. To keep me humble, to keep me from exalting myself. Maybe something physical, maybe something to do with our health. It may be some problem. Maybe something in the home, in relationships, Maybe something to do with our children. They have a difficult child. Not really difficult. They're just going through a phase, going through a stage. But if I see it as my thorn to keep me humble and not complain and not think God is angry with me, God is punishing me, why is He allowing this to me? Something may happen, we may lose our job. We may come to a situation where, like George Madison, we are cast upon no one. No one can help us. We feel no one understands. But there's one who stands with us, who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that's our Savior. But I want to say, my brothers and sisters, we cannot experience this power. And that's the second thing I want you to see, without being willing to become weak. None of us like to become weak. We want to be strong. We want to be assertive. We want to be accepted. We want to be commended. We want to be praised. We want to be thanked. How many of us are willing to be content? Like Paul says, I'm content with weaknesses. If I have something to boast about, he says, I'll boast about my weaknesses, not about my achievements and abilities. How opposite, isn't it, to the world and the spirit of the world, the spirit of the times we live in? We want to boast about our achievements, our abilities. We take pride in it. How about this, to boast about our weaknesses? To give thanks to God for the thorn, whatever it is. Maybe a very little thing, but it troubles you. And to see that God loves me. He wants to keep me humble so that He can be on my side. So I can experience dynamite in my life. Because if I get strong, God becomes my enemy. God is against the proud. And so He does everything to make us weak. That's what He did with Jesus. And that's what we read about Jesus. You look at the next chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 13. A very blessed word. I look at it many, many times. And not just look at it. I seek to do what it tells me to do there. It says there, first of all, 2 Corinthians 13:4. For indeed, He was crucified because of weakness. He was crucified because of weakness. Jesus could not be crucified if He didn't become weak. He opened His palms and let them drive the nails in. He didn't, like the other two who were being crucified along with Him, didn't resist and curse and, you know, feel sorry for themselves. He thought of others, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. He yielded, because all through His 33 years He had become weak. He let the Father make Him weak. Isaiah 53, Isaiah saw something of the glory of Jesus. And I pray to God, and I'm praying, Lord, I want to see more of that glory. He became weak. God made Him sick so that He would pour out His soul to death. And that's why God allows situations and circumstances in your life and mine, that we would learn to pour out our soul to death. It's our soul that wants to be strong and assertive and, you know, be accepted, be thanked and praised. And if I would learn to pour out my soul to death, and be like Jesus, be willing to be made weak. That I can pray. It says in Philippians 2, I think it is. It says God works in us both to work and to will His good pleasure. And we had a little placard that Brother Bartholomew passed around many years ago. I have it on my desk. God, make me willing to be willing. Make me willing to be willing. And that's an honest prayer. Not say I'm willing. But make me willing to be willing. And so we see here that Jesus was crucified because of weakness. He could not be crucified if He did not become weak. Yet He lives. The rest of that verse says, because of the power of God. And look at the rest of that verse. For we also are weak in Him. If we are in Jesus, we will become weak, not strong in ourselves. Yet we live with Him because of the power of God directed towards you. That is God's will for your life and mine. That I become weak so that I can give up my will. I can never give up my will if I have never become weak. I would still want to have my own way and do my own will. That's why Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, all of you who exhaust yourselves. Come to me, he says, and learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. The Message Bible paraphrases that. Learn from me the unforced rhythms of grace. See how I do it, and you will find rest for your souls. That is God's will for every last one of us here, my brothers and sisters. Learn from me, Jesus said. Learn from me. Not, you don't have to look around, but learn from me. Humility and meekness, and you'll find rest for your soul. And so God has to bring us to this place. God has to break us to make us weak. There's no other way. I know he's had to do that with me. To break us, to make us weak through circumstances, through people, through humble submission to authority. You know, that's where we can become weak. I encourage young people, be under authority, be a man under authority. And I can say before God, I've learned that in 42 years. I've sought and never wanted to come out of that place. Many times I've been tempted to come out of that place. Hagar ran away because of a mistress who ill-treated her. And she was there, left alone. She was not alone. She had a bottle of water, was exhausted, and there was this child Ishmael. And God said to her, Hagar, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? And if we run away, I hope we'll hear that. What are you doing here? Go back and submit to your mistress. Have you heard that, my brothers and sisters, when we want to run out, we are tired of being under authority. I want to do my own thing. I want to have my own ministry. That's what people are thinking, ministry. They want to run away. I know I've been tempted many times. But I always said, Lord, I want to be a man under authority. I want to learn to submit. It's when we submit that we are broken. People who submit, whether it's a wife to a husband, to a demanding husband, when she submits, she will experience power. There's a power in submission. The devil would like to hide it from our eyes and make submission, you know, a very servile thing, being a yes man and yes sir, no sir. I'm not that. There is a power in submission. There's a beauty, there's a glory in submission, my brothers and sisters. I want to say to you, young brothers and sisters, learn it. You'll experience dynamite in your life. Because it's the only way that God can make you weak. The only way that God can make us weak when we submit. And the other thing is when there is a breaking in self-acknowledgement. To acknowledge, I may be wrong. To acknowledge, I can be wrong. To acknowledge and humble myself when I'm proved wrong. That's very difficult. Isn't it? We all think we are right. We are experts. We know what to do. We know how to handle this situation. And I'm an expert in this field. Nobody can really teach me. I'm the one. I'm the boss. No, my brothers and sisters, that's the way of the world. And I thank God for opening my eyes to see this way. To go down, there's a glory in becoming weak. There's a power that is released in us when we become weak. Because when I'm weak, I'm dynamite, like we read in the literal translation of that verse. It's the power of God that we can experience. It's a passing power of God to us who believe. This is the only way that I can give up my own will. When I become weak like Jesus. You look at the life of Jesus, and I have taken it on myself to just look at the life of Jesus. See the many, many situations where he became weak. He yielded up his will to the Father. Not just in Gethsemane. It all started before that. It started in his childhood when we have heard in this church when he had to submit to imperfect parents. That's where it begins. God doesn't give us perfect people to submit to. He gives us imperfect people. He gives us imperfect elders to submit to. Imperfect elders that we may even see their imperfections. But then I submit because that's where God has put me. And if I learn that, then I'll experience the power of God in my life. I'll experience dynamite. That in every situation, whatever mountain, whatever hill, whatever roadblock the devil puts in my way, it'll be blasted. Not because of my strength, because I've become weak. And when I'm weak, I'm strong, like the Holy Spirit says. Therefore, reading on there in 2 Corinthians 13, is that all? Is that something that we have to admire? And is that a pep talk that I need? No. This is what I say I've taken seriously. I've shared this with many, many of you through the years. It says in verse 4, indeed he was crucified because of weakness, yet he lives because of the power of God, and we also are weak in him. Listen to it carefully, read carefully. Yet we will live with him because of the power of God directed toward you. We also are weak in him. Not I glory in the fact I asked Jesus to come into my heart. No, because the next verse tells me, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? And Paul says, I trust that you will realize that we ourselves do not fail the test. Because we saw that. And God said to him, my power shows up best in weak people, Paul. I'll not remove that thorn. You'll experience my power. What do you want? For me to take away the thorn or to experience my power? And you know what Paul chose? Or what do we choose, my brothers and sisters? And we pray and ask God, what do I want? God, to remove that thorn that's creating trouble, and I think that's hindering me, or to experience God's power. I know what I want. And so there's no other way here. Test yourself, the Holy Spirit says, to see if you're in the faith. See whether Jesus says, examine yourselves. Do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you? This Jesus who makes us weak so that we can be strong. Test yourselves. Examine. He says, recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. And if I fail the test, let me do something. We make our children, if they fail the test, do it again. You fail the examination, do it again. You have to repeat the class, do it again. So we're willing to do that. Repeat the class. Okay, I want to experience God's power. I want to make sure that Jesus Christ is in me, not that I think that 50 years ago I gave my heart to Jesus. No, today is Jesus in me. I want to ask you, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus in you, this Jesus, where you can experience dynamite, where you are allowing him to make you weak through circumstances and situations? If we do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do every day, and particularly when we are tempted, particularly in situations, test yourself, examine yourself to see whether Jesus Christ is in you. And if you fail the test, do something about it. Finally, the last verse of that beautiful song that the first two verses that I read out to you. I wish sometimes that we can really sing it, even though it has a long, a slow tune. The last verse of that song gives us a true picture of the cross. This is what lifts me up every time. That we should never be afraid of taking up. People are afraid when you talk about taking up the cross. When you speak about the cross. People think very negatively about the cross. It's not what Brother Charles said recently. It's not what some who think with very spiritual, Lord, send me trials, send me difficulties. Send me suffering. We heard that from him. Where do we see Jesus praying such a prayer? Sounds very spiritual, isn't it? But when the Lord really sends us difficulties and suffering, it's a different story then. But people pray, Lord, send me difficulties. I've heard brothers pray that. Send me suffering. God knows when to send it. We don't have to ask him. Jesus or the apostles never prayed such a prayer. I want you to see that. How contrary things are what we have heard in the Christian world and what we hear. You know, we imagine that's the way to become godly and spiritual. Jesus taught us to pray, Father, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the power of the evil one. Did he say, Lord, send us suffering? He taught us to pray, Father, don't lead me into temptation. Deliver me from the power of the evil one. And he said, when they persecute you in one city, run to the other, flee to the other. And he said, pray that you may have strength to escape all these things. You spoke of the last times. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things. You see how different it is. So it's good to read the Bible carefully. It's good to look at the real Jesus. And we see that many times he was about to be lynched. Many times they wanted to push him over the cliff. They wanted to stone him to death. But he was unperturbed. He didn't stay there. He escaped once. They didn't even know that he escaped through their hands. God blinded their eyes. I like that. We're not to be ascetics. Lord, send me suffering. Send me difficulties. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things, Jesus said. And when the time came, when the hour came, he said, you know, my hour has not yet come. But when the hour did come, he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. He recognized it. And he boldly gave himself up. And he asked them, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus Nazarene. He said, it's me. Here I am. Take me. Leave these others. Let them go. That's how it is. That when the time comes, when our hour comes, the power of darkness, we give ourselves up. But otherwise we pray that we may have strength. We pray that we are not led into temptation. That we don't deny the Lord. That we don't betray him. So the cross lifts us up. That's what I want you to see. It doesn't put us down in gloom and depression. It says, Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured. We heard that from Brother Zach. He endured, not enjoyed the cross. For the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? To be restored to fellowship with the Father, which he enjoyed for all eternity. To get back after suffering hell on that cross, after being separated from the Father. The price he paid was not the physical suffering. We have heard that if you're attending this church here. That's the message. Not the physical suffering, not the pains, not the nails, not the thorns, not all that, you know, all that's portrayed and depicted about the physical suffering of Jesus. But nobody can look into the heart of Jesus to see what really caused him suffering. That he was going to, the fellowship with the Father that he enjoyed was going to be broken. That was hell. That means when there is no God. That's what he suffered for us. And the joy that was going to be restored, that's what he looked for. So he endured the cross. And that's how it must be with us. We endure the cross, despising the shame. So the last verse of that song says, O cross that liftest up my head. I like that. It makes me weep. O cross that liftest up my head. Doesn't put me down. I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust, life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red, life that shall endless be. Amen.